Check, check. Can we hear it? Okay, there we go. Now the children can go to Sunday school. Children's church. I have to tell you, one of the things that I've discovered is that my voice is not as enduring as it used to be. And I think a lot of it's allergies and things there, but when you're doing worship and doing everything, and then now we've got the message of the Lord, it takes His strength to get us through. So I've got an extra bottle of water just in case. I have to adjust because Carrie and I have different size faces. Mine's fatter. Well, good morning. I am excited to share with you the message this morning that I prepared. It's called Trust, Being the Hands and Feet of Jesus. Now, I know we've heard those words before, and we read it many times in the scriptures, but what does it really mean to be the hands and feet of Jesus? Experiencing the promises of God, we're going to look at how living with faithful action, being the hands and feet of Jesus, positions us to experience more of God's promises. Now may God guide us today into a work that is birthed from the place of abiding in Him, that our lives would be marked by the fruit of God's promises coming to fruition every day in our lives. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the scripture found in 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespass to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Nathan, would you please pray over the service?
We thank You, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity. We thank You, Father, for our brother. I pray, dear Lord, that You would bless him in the sharing of Your word and all of us in the hearing of it. I pray, dear Lord, that You would give us all open, receptive hearts, that we would and learn and flourish in Your word. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My lovely wife so accurately corrected me, the word of reconciliation, not the world. As the child of God, you've been set apart. You and I have been set apart for the works of our Father. You've been entrusted with the incredible message of reconciliation. There is no other work in life that will fill you with more joy and purpose than seeing God's promises fulfilled through your own hands. Isn't that a powerful feeling? Through your own hands. What an incredible God we have, that in all His power and wisdom, He would choose to use us as His hands and as His feet. Our God loves you and empowers you for incredible works that will satisfy the desires of your heart and the needs of others. Spend time in His presence today, being fueled by His love. Follow the leading of the Spirit as He shows you where He is working and what He would have you do to see His promises come to fruition through your life. Isn't our God a mighty God? One of the best ways that you and I can experience the promises of God is to co-labor with Him in His purposes of restoration. It's incredible that God plans ahead of time to use us, His church, to see His kingdom come to earth. He's commissioned us to spread the gospel. He's chosen us to tell of the good news of restored relationship with our Creator. If you're like me, at one point in your life, you were broken. You were living in the world. You had not yet been totally set apart, washed in the blood. You hadn't chosen Jesus Christ as the Lord. You may have given your life to Him, but had you made Him the Lord of your life, your Creator? Look at what it says in the book of Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Amen. That is commonly known as the Great Commission, that you and I have been set apart to preach the gospel of truth to all those in the world. Jesus shares with us the authority that's been given to him. God's made incredible promises to you and I and to his people. And he wants us to join him to seeing his promises come to fruition. Now let me share with you this morning that God's intention is not to burden you with the work he set before you. His intention is to actually lead you to a better and more fulfilling life. Have you found that? Have you discovered that? That through him, he's leading you to a better, more fulfilling life. He knows that you will only be truly satisfied when you partner with him to see his kingdom come to earth. You are meant for good works. You are meant to co-labor with your heavenly Father. And anytime you feel burdened, simply cast your cares on God, ask him to share his heart with you, and minister from his anointing and not from your own strength. Oh, how we do that. May you find today a lifestyle of good works that leads you to joy, to peace, and to the purpose in the Spirit. Now we get to share with the world a message just like Peter did in Acts 2:38. Look at Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and you shall receive the gift of what? The Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. And bring to fruition the promise of Jesus that is found in a verse that all of us are familiar with. But there's two parts to it, John 3:16 and 17. Let's look at that. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not," listen carefully, "for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." How incredible. How incredible. You have the opportunity to see God's promise of salvation come to those around you through working with God. You and I are joint heirs to the throne. Is there any greater accomplishment than that? You can also co-labor with God in his desire to meet the felt needs of those around you. God says in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11, "For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor, and your needy in your land. The church in Acts brought about God's desire to meet needs. The book of Acts is filled with works, miraculous things that happen. Look at Acts 4, verses 34 through 35. It says, "Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of the lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had a need." You see, God longs to use you and I like he did with his church in the book of Acts. Modern day times. You get to work with God and seeing his longing to provide for the people come to pass. You get to be the hands and the feet of our Savior and co-labor with Christ. Wow, that is a sincere joy. Now, what does it mean truly, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Being the hands and feet means that Christ's followers, past, present, and future, are obedient. We're obedient in our commission to preach the gospel and co-labor with Christ, to love, to serve, and to heal the broken, hurting, and hopeless of this world. The orphans, the widows. We've been called to help those who need help in the world. There are numerous stories in the Bible where God called men, women, and even children to step out in faith and follow him. This often meant stepping away from their jobs, their homes, their families, and even their personal comfort and security to follow God's plan for their lives and for the world. The feet of Jesus belong to those willing to be moved by God. Abraham was instructed to leave his country and relatives and go to a land God would later show him, as described in the book of Genesis. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh to preach a message of repentance to a hostile nation that was in Assyria. And that's mentioned in the book of Jonah. Ruth would leave her own family to serve her mother-in-law, Naomi, as described in the book of Ruth. And Jesus called 12 ordinary young men to become his closest disciples, asking them to walk away from everything, their jobs, their families, and personal safety to do so. I often scratch my head. If Jesus came to you today and you didn't know him, and he asked you to leave your job, your family, your personal safety, pick up your cross, sell all your possessions and follow me, would you do it? Because that's the price of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen? In each instance, God was looking for those who were willing to set aside their personal comforts and their interests to follow him and to share in his ministry. He wanted obedient, focused, and committed followers who would not only trust him, but would submit to his authority and way of doing things. Even when it wasn't comfortable or easy, the choice, however, was theirs. He gave them a choice. And he gives you and I a choice. Abraham believed in God, and the Bible says it was credited to him as righteousness. Amen. Jonah, on the other hand, ran from God's call to Nineveh, fearful of what might come of such a risky venture, as we know in the story of Jonah. But ultimately, what happened? It was a big fish. Look at Matthew 16, verses 24 through 25. Listen carefully to this, because this is the soul and the heart of the message today. Jesus warned his would-be disciples that following him wasn't going to be for the faint at heart. You ever had somebody say, oh man, when I came to the Lord, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't know it was going to be so difficult and challenging. But consider it pure joy, my friends. And look at what it says in Matthew 16, 24 through 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If you were to say that today to somebody that had never met you on the street that didn't know who Jesus Christ was, they would think you were radical. And guess what? Jesus was radical. In those times, they had never seen a man speak like this. We're called to be radical, but we're called to do it in love and through the love of Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful that you have the playbook? God doesn't make mistakes. If you ever played sports, I say this often, we have a coach who's never lost a game. He's undefeated. That's your playbook. That's something nobody can take away. In fact, most of Jesus' disciples would give their lives for Jesus and the message of the gospel. Many others, unfortunately, found the cost of discipleship too much to bear and turn back. We read that in scripture as well. God, however, is deeply invested in the growth and transformation of his followers. He's deeply invested in it. And part of that growth involves being challenged and being stretched. And sometimes we feel like we're being torn apart. But he says he will never let us break. Jesus' closest followers did just that. They stepped out in faith and left behind the things they were most comfortable with. In doing so, they learned from his teachings. They witnessed his miracles. And they went out into the world. They were equipped. They were empowered and entrusted to preach the gospel and do what he did. We can find that in the passages in Luke. They became more and more like Jesus every day and became participants in his ministry to the world. Are you willing to do the same today? I ask you that question. Following in the footsteps of Jesus, therefore, is the essence of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Responding to the call is the first step to becoming more like him. Let me repeat that. Responding to the call is the first step to becoming more like him. The second involves being obedient to his instructions and his commission. Jesus paid the ultimate price for humanity's sin through his death on the cross, paving the way for those who believe and repent to not only experience forgiveness for sin, but also to ultimately eternal salvation, as we find in multiple places in Scripture, in Romans, in Ephesians, and in John. Look at 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. I love that scripture. By his stripes, we are healed. This is the good news. Jesus now commands his followers to share that with the world. He paid the price. Look at Matthew 28:19-20. Again, just a reminder of the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is our purpose, my friends. That's our commission. Being the feet of Jesus, therefore, implies that Christ's followers will actually get up and go.
Amen.
That will actually take action. That will actually do it. Whether it's in the immediate circles, our neighborhoods, or globally, you and I are commissioned to share the good news of what Jesus Christ has done, is doing, and will do, and not keep the gospel hidden to ourselves. We're called to share the gospel. How do you share the gospel? You do it through faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if the word of God is etched on our hearts, we know what to say and when to say it, because the Holy Spirit speaks within you and I. Matthew 5:14-16. I really want to get to the core of this today. And this is beautifully said. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You and I, my friends, are called to be the salt and light of the world. Look around us. We need some more salt and light, don't we? The time has come that we need to stand, and we need to be that shining light of hope to a lost and desperate world right now that we're in. Just as Christ was willing to bring light, life, love, hope, and forgiveness to his creation, so Christians today, you and I, are called to step out in faith, follow him, and deliver the same message to a world in desperate need of a Savior. Now, some of you are probably sitting there, wow, I didn't know I was going to come to church today and get lectured. I'm not lecturing you. I'm telling you what the Word says. This is what God's Word says and what we're called to do. Amen? The hands of Jesus are willing to do his work. The hands of Jesus are willing to do his work. In addition to being the feet of Jesus, going into all the corners of the world to share the good news of the gospel, Christians are also called to be the hands of Jesus wherever they go. We talked about the feet. Now let's talk about the hands. What does that mean? It means doing the things that Jesus did. We have a role model. We have a mentor. We have the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. Amen. Thankfully, Jesus provided the perfect example, and he set out the instructions that follow in this verse. Look at Mark 10, verses 43 through 45, as Jesus told his disciples, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." That's powerful. He proved this when he washed his disciples' feet, and even more so when he gave his life up on the cross. What is then expected of his followers? Jesus was very clear on this point as well. And here's what he said in John 13, 14 through 15. "If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I give you an example that you also should do as I did to you." I want to share a personal story with you, something that happened in my life. Back in 2014, I was courting my now wife, Nancy, who's right here today. And I was at her house visiting her in Redway, and we'd had a real nice weekend. And I said, "Nancy, I'd like to ask you a favor. Do you have a bowl and do you have a towel in the house?" And she proceeded to get a big bowl. She brought out a towel. And you know what I did? As I got down on my knees, I had her take her shoes off. Had her take her socks off. And just as Jesus came to serve, I told her, "I have come to serve you. I'm dedicating my life to serving you as my future wife, who I will love and hold." That was a touching moment. You can ask Nancy. We both had tears in our eyes. The anointing power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is a mighty, mighty movement. And if we just take a moment to realize that we are not here to serve our own selfish interests, but to serve others, is so important. And what greater showing of that than what Jesus did to wash his disciples' feet? Can you imagine what some of them were saying? "What? It's the Master. He's going to wash our feet. You shouldn't be doing that." Jesus set a great example for you and I that we are here to serve others. When Christians, when you and I, when we go out into the world as his feet, they also carry with them the hands of Jesus, tending, preserving, serving, and healing the world he loves and entrusting his followers to care for them. We're entrusted to care for others. And if they adhere to the gospel message, submit to the authority of who? Jesus Christ. And receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they go with the anointing of Jesus Christ as well. What does it mean to be in the anointing? To fall under the anointing of Jesus Christ? I won't fully know and comprehend that until I stand before the Father someday. But I do know and do recognize, as do many of you, what the anointing is. It's that warm feeling. It's that powerful feeling of knowing that God is right there working through you and in you. And what does that mean? That means loving our neighbors. It means taking care of the poor. These are all outlined in Scripture, by the way. Feeding the hungry, clothing the needy, being hospitable to strangers, healing the sick. Yes, it still happens today. Forgiving others, promoting justice and mercy, promoting peace, caring for the captive, the prisoner, and the oppressed, and on and on and on and on. Look at Matthew 25:40. Jesus said, "And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." I often see that verse in rescue missions, and that's up on the wall. You know, when we go to a rescue mission, we think, oh, there's the homeless, there's the lost, there's the addicted. I was addicted to alcohol for decades and decades, and I'm here to tell you by the transforming power of Jesus Christ that I have over 10 and a half years of sobriety in my life, and God has restored me and brought me back to his calling, and I'm never looking back. And he wants to do the same with you today. It's your time to shine. As Matthew Henry writes in his complete commentary, listen to this. Where the gospel goes and the graces of God's Spirit go along with it, there living waters go.
Amen.
There living waters go. And by the way, you can find that. I didn't put that scripture up, but it's in Zechariah 14:8 if you want to make a note. This is the purpose of the church and the power of Christ's disciples, who are not just receivers of the gospel, but we're participants in it. We're actually part of the story. They are truly the hands and feet of a living Jesus who is still active in shaping and saving the world. Somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
We need that right now in our world. I want to tell you something. You don't need to have a gazillion dollars to make a big impact in God's kingdom. We often think, well, it's the people that are extremely wealthy and rich. They're the ones that can give most to the needy and to the poor. Mm-mm. You just need a willing heart. You need to be ready to live out your faith and show up to love the big and the little people in your life the best you can. You don't have to have a gazillion dollars. Here's a quote on prayer that so eloquently shows us how to love others well and be God's hands and feet. This is by a gentleman named Austin O'Malley. I love this. He says, "Practical prayer is harder on the soles of your shoes than on the knees of your trousers." Prayer in action is powerfully done by serving others. My friends, that's what we're called to do. We're called to be the hand and feet of Jesus, to serve others. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to me personally to see people serving and meeting the needs in our community. It's a blessing to see our church and how much we give back to our local community right here at Blue Lake Community Church. It's so good to see that. Doesn't it warm you to know that? Have you ever heard the story about the little girl who was on the way home from a play date and she stopped for a moment to help a friend whose bicycle had broke down? And when the little girl got home, her mom was upset and demanded an explanation. "Where have you been?" And the girl told her mom that she stopped to help a friend whose bike was broken. And the mom raised her voice and reminded the little girl that she knows absolutely nothing about fixing bikes. The little girl replied that she stopped to give her friend a hug because she was sad about her broken bike. Her mom stood there in silence. Even the little children are called to serve. Seriously, how powerful is that story? Doesn't that hit you right here? Say, the innocence of a child and what that child did. So, so important as a reminder to us. We often jump straight to advice or words of comfort to help the people in our life who are hurting and having a hard day. I've had a hard day. You've had a hard day. We've all had challenging times. Maybe you're going through a desert right now in your life. We do. Now, here's the problem. During a hard day, which I experience many times, frequently, it's backfired in a lot of ways that I could not even imagine. Too often, I use quick words that can pour salt on an already open wound, or our actions can be misinterpreted. In other words, somebody says, oh, you need to do this. I wanted you to do this, and you did this, and this. And then I say, well, no, I didn't. I did exactly what you told me to do, instead of stopping for a second and just to pause and to reflect. God, how would you like me to respond to this? Even our best intentions, often have unforeseen consequences. Look at 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Do you know a kind deed never goes unnoticed? Okay, that's not technically true. I do kind deeds all the time, and they frequently go unnoticed. You probably do too. But my point is that loving others through acts of service can be a tremendous blessing to someone who is in need. Small acts of service can have a huge impact on someone that's in need. Our actions can have a powerful impact on someone's aching soul. Their soul's hurting. They're broken. They're weeping. We need to reach out. That whole bigger is better logic, that doesn't work most of the time. Neither does the go big or go home mentality. Small acts of service can have a huge impact. Sometimes the best gift we can offer is the gift simply of our presence. It's just being there for someone that is in need. Be the warm body on the couch with a cup of coffee in the hand to someone in need today. There's no better example of love in the action than Jesus' death on the cross. No greater love hath any man than to lay down his life for his best friend. The Bible contains beautiful truths and practical knowledge for you and I for our daily living. But without the sacrificial love of the cross, the rest of it really doesn't matter, does it? Christ crucified, without that, it really doesn't matter. That's the point. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whomever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16, that's etched on our heart. Because if Jesus had not died for you and I on the cross, we wouldn't have any reason to meet here today. Do you realize that? Christ crucified. I miss a ton of opportunities every week to spread a little of Christ's love to others. And you know what? You do too. Too often we choose the comfort of our own schedule over the chance to show practical love to others. Go outside your comfort zone today. I'm asking you, go outside your comfort zone and put faith into action this week by loving on someone in need. By loving on someone that's in need. And as we get towards the close of today, you're not sure where to begin with this? Let me give you four ways to be the hands and feet of Jesus. First, offer words of encouragement. When is the last time you wrote a note to your spouse or your kiddos, your children, letting them know how much you appreciate them? When was the last time you wrote them a note? It's amazing how this small, simple act can make someone feel cherished and someone loved. Tuck a note in your kid's lunchbox or under their pillow. Let them know how much you love them. Stick a note of encouragement in your husband's shoe or your wife's, your coat pocket or briefcase. Leave a note. Tuck a note into your teen's daughter's makeup case. Or put a word of affirmation on a bathroom mirror. Okay? Let them know that you care, that you love. Here's the second thing. Invest in quality time. You know what I don't see a lot today of? And this is me. Maybe I grew up in a time where this was just expected. I don't see families sitting at the table for dinner today and praying. I don't see it in a lot of households. And when I do see it, it puts a warm smile on my face. Whether we're out in public or whether we're in our own home, we always pray. We always say grace before dinner. But to ask each other, how was your day? Russ, how was your day today? Did you have a good day? Michelle, how was your day? Did you have a great day? Tell us about what happened. And asking your children, what happened at school today? If they're not in school, what happened today when you were out there with your friend John? Whatever the case may be. Spend quality time with your spouse and your children this week, my friends. Spend some quality time with them. Take time to ask important questions that get to the heart of where your family is in their faith. Start off with simple questions like, how was work or school today? And progress to questions like, where did you see God show up in your life today? That's interesting. Where did you see God show up in your life today? Or what lesson did Jesus teach you today? Third one, share small gifts. You'd be surprised how small gifts can mean a lot. You can tuck a post-it note with a way to go and a little candy bar in your children's lunchbox or a spouse's briefcase, but bring a cup of coffee to a coworker at work who needs a little pick-me-up. Send flowers to your spouse, to your loving wife, gentlemen. Send flowers to them. Or buy a couple of bottles of their favorite whatever it may be. You fill in the blank. But whatever there is, just those little extra things. Take a cupcake to a friend, or take maybe a fresh baked good to a friend. Maybe somebody that wasn't able to come in because they had no way to get there. Visibly remind someone in your life today of how much you appreciate them, and offer, and let me emphasize this, offer to pray for them. And may I submit to you that often we say, well, I'll pray for you. Well, I'll pray for you. Why don't we stop and pray right now? Why don't we pray for you right now while I'm here? Would that be okay with you? I have very few people that ever tell me, no, Terry, I don't want prayer. People like to be prayed for. And if they don't, and maybe they aren't a believer in Jesus Christ, what an opportunity. What an opportunity. Amen? And here's the last one. We need to serve others. Take time together as a family to serve a neighbor or a friend in need. Offer to do the yard work or prepare a meal. As you cook together, pray over the food. Deliver it together as a family and talk about the importance that small acts of service can make in someone's life. I know at times when we have somebody that is recovering from surgery, we often have a sign-up sheet. Let's go take some food over there. Let's help. It's helping that person. Have your kids create a dinner. Do that. Maybe place some mats out there that have some scriptures on it when they serve the food as a reminder. Thinking outside of the box. And here's one that I like. Maybe choose their favorite Christian music to burn it on a CD and enjoy it while eating dinner. Be creative. Do you know last week, Rob and Lou came up to me, and I know they did this for a few other people too. They had burned two CDs of Christian music, and they know the style of what I like and what I like to worship to. And it blessed me. That afternoon, I had an opportunity. I was driving somewhere else, and I put that CD on my car, and I was worshiping. But more than that, I picked up the phone. I called Lucinda, Rob wasn't there at the time. I said, Lucinda, I can't tell you how much I love this music. It made my day. Those little extra things of going out of the way. These small acts, my friends, as a family can create a lasting legacy for God's kingdom. Now, I want to close today by saying this to you. Being set apart to preach the gospel to the world is sincerely the highest honor that God places upon each and every one of us. I know it is to me. To be the hands and feet of Jesus, to follow him as a devoted disciple in everything we do, it's up to you and I. If we truly want to model the calling of Jesus Christ in our lives, it requires us to step out in faith and share what is the real truth. Used to be a song that says, what the world needs now is love, sweet love, right? What the world needs right now? Truth. The world needs truth. And through truth, they will find love. Through love, they will find truth. Oh, I like that. I leave you with this one last verse as a reminder in my household of our conviction. Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side, or the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. I hope that today there were a couple of points in there, maybe a scripture or something that I shared, that you'll take in your walk in becoming the feet and the hands of Jesus Christ. We can't be reminded enough of what our true calling is. We're not told to sit idle and sit on our hands. We're to get out there and be the salt and light of the earth. I would not want to miss an opportunity right now. If there is someone here, any of you that have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and would like to have that opportunity today, with eyes closed, would you raise your hand? Would any